And welcome, friends, to the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Steve Vaughn, also co-hosting on this edition of the program. Steve, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be back again.
Yeah, well, we are somewhat the cultural commentators on what is happening around us. We're doing the best we can to bring a biblical worldview to bear on the insane asylum, as it is affectionately known in our vocabulary, I guess you'd say. But there are other organizations that have attempted to bring a distinctively biblical worldview to media and to culture and to politics. And we appreciate the work that World Magazine has done to date. And I followed World, I'm going to say all the way back from 1987, perhaps a year or two after the World Magazine got its beginning. And Joel Beltz, of course, the publisher for World Magazine and the guy who got it all going back in the 1980s, been on this radio program with me, as has Marvin Alasky and others. But in some ways, World Magazine is somewhat of a competitor in terms of our news commentary. And but they're experiencing something of a dividing of the waters right now. My overall conclusion to what's happening is I think we need to have fundamental discussions, longer conversations about what is happening in the world around us. I don't think that World Magazine and most of us are really coming to grips with the changes that are happening in our civilization all about us. And that's why I wrote the book Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. But whatever the case, a rift has developed. Marvin Alasky is leaving. Al Mohler has been something of a representative of, I'd say, the right on this discussion, while Marvin Alasky has taken something of the left, although it's hard to say it's a right and left thing, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. The DNYUZ.com organization has a long article on what's going on with World Magazine. Just a few updates here from this article. Mr. Alasky has been the editor of World from 1994 until November 1st, 2021, when he submitted his resignation. He had, he said, received an effective vote of no confidence from World's board, which had recently started a section of the website World Opinions without fully consulting him. The new section offers opinion essays on religious issues with the kind of commentary on secular topics like mask mandates, inflation, race, President Biden's spending plans that can be found on any number of other conservative websites. One journalist whose departure particularly rattled the newsroom is Mindy Beltz, a writer for four decades for the magazine. Also, Mr. Beltz's sister-in-law, she resigned in October, saying in an internal memo shared with this editor that World was heading in a new direction, some I don't embrace and fear many compromise the hard reporting many of us have spent years cultivating. In her final column, Ms. Beltz, who was also an editor, wrote of her discomfort with the strife and stridency that's befallen American evangelicalism with some directions World News Group is charting. Mr. Alasky's recent work shows a deep concern about where this is all headed. In a recent column, he deplored the Flight 93 approach, a reference to the hijacked flight of 9/11, where passengers banded together to storm the cockpit that he sees among many conservatives who he says believe they must use any means necessary to keep America from being destroyed by liberals. Quote, some are both on both political sides now say we're heading towards social Armageddon. We are two nations. It's them or us. And yet many on both sides still share the hope of the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God. I'm on the one nation team. That's Marvin Alasky. In one of his last editorials I just visited last night, Mr. Alasky commented on an article from Breitbart, and Breitbart was editorializing, Democrats want to literally mask your children and then poison and defile them with racial hatred, gay porn, anti-Americanism, and transsexual voodoo. All Democrats, Breitbart says, champion and encourage deadly race riots at the hands of their own personal brown shirts. And this is, again, Marvin Alasky. How does that fighting talk go with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount statement, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the sons of God? He refers to America being somewhat in a state of civil war. We need an anti-civil war party. The U.S. far left is offensive, but if all we do is react to it, instead of developing biblical alternatives that embrace grace rather than hate, we are at best clanging cymbal reactionaries. At worst, the right may be culpable as the left in bringing on civil war. Let's note a few reactionary tendencies and opportunities to transcend them. The issue of transgender use of bathrooms is still with us, but when it was hot as 5 years ago, A World cover story asked about the cost of potential way of the future, the private restroom with a single toilet and a door that locks. We can have and should strive for peace regarding many lesser disputes. One building consultant told a reporter that his clients consistently chose unisex restrooms for their own new constructions. He moves on. It's important for Christians to remember that the political spectrum is not a straight line, so we should not look at everything in right and left terms. It's more like a horseshoe, as David French and others have noted, with the ends being bending towards each other, so the far left and the far right aren't far apart. A few issues, abortion is most prominent, do not lend themselves to compromise. And that's pretty much the gist of his article. Well, friends, that's an update on what's going on there. World founded in 1986. Now, what, almost 30 years later, the magazine editorial system is cracking right down the center. Now, just a few comments on this. But I think I'll get to it in just a moment, Steve. Let's take a break and a few deep breaths, and we'll come back to this controversy. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
What happens when a culture that was established and guided by biblical principles abandons the faith and seeks to live by its own wisdom? In his latest groundbreaking work, Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West, Kevin Swanson unfolds the dramatic history of Western civilization, highlighting the phenomenal impact that Jesus Christ and his people have had upon the thought, culture, and institutions of the Christian West, as well as tracing the slow but devastating decline of Western civilization and the key factors that have led to our spectacular fall over the centuries. A sobering narrative of gospel hope, this book urges its reader to greater fervency in the work of discipleship and the development of an international vision for the church. This is truly a must-read for any Christian seeking to understand the times and seasons in which we live. You can claim your hardcover copy of Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West by visiting generations.org/store today. That's generations.org/store.
And welcome back to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, also Steve Vaughn, and today interacting with what's going on with World Magazine as another organization that was attempting to bring a biblical worldview into the area of journalism, which is what we have attempted to do as well over 18 years of this ministry. And yet, you know, I've given up on World Magazine in terms of being a subscriber, and did maybe 5 or 6 years ago, Steve.
Yeah, we subscribed, but I think we stopped in either late 1990s or 2000s. It just didn't seem to be as exciting or relevant to us, I guess. I don't know why we... It seemed good for a while, but then, I don't know, things seemed to change and we just didn't seem to want to read that anymore.
Well, in terms of pure news, you could pick up a lot of the same stuff at Reuters, Wall Street Journal, the BBC. And I think they lost a sense of the battle. They didn't discern the times well. The men of Issachar, you know, who wanted to discern the times, I think they dropped the subscriptions to World Magazine. They've always been somewhat respected, though, and they have journalistic integrity about them. But I'd like to just take a moment and interact a bit with Marvin Alasky's final editorial, or one of his last editorials, which I just read in the prior section to this program. I don't think that Mr. Alasky is really considering the issues of abortion, transgenderism, etc., in the light of God's law. And because of that, because of this sort of lack of commitment to God's law on the part of American evangelicalism, it's hard to think objectively, or certainly biblically, about ethical matters. He doesn't seem to care about forcing businesses and schools to transgender their bathrooms. That doesn't seem to be an issue for him. It's just a minor thing. Abortion's the thing. But, you know, he doesn't understand that transgenderism, forcing businesses and schools to transgender, is a violation of the seventh commandment and a violation of the eighth commandment on the part of the all-controlling God state. The state has no right to control other people's properties like that. This is a major issue. I don't think he sees that this dragon-inspired state persecuting God's people is worse than unbelievers killing their babies. I don't think he sees that.
Yeah, it seems as though when he describes the controversy more like a horseshoe, that the ends sort of bend towards each other. But I mean, he does go on to say that abortion, there is no compromise there. But there are things that I think he'd be willing to compromise that I would not be willing to compromise. I don't see us as a horseshoe with ends bending together. I think that it's horseshoe's been heated up and the ends pulled apart.
Well, and I think if you look at it in terms of biblical law, you say, well, there's, you know, there is that form of autonomy that is either individualistic or socialistic on the far left. And then there is a biblical subscription to that which is righteous and just on the far right. That's the better way to put it. Not, you know, whether you've joined the libertarian or the anarchical party versus the socialist party. That's not what we're asking here. We're simply asking, is government and the democracy or the people subscribing increasingly to God's laws, or are they violating God's laws, ergo the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th commandments, wholesale? And I don't think he's thinking in those terms. He doesn't see that this sort of dragon-inspired state persecuting God's people is worse than unbelievers killing babies, or that, you know, Christian flower shops and bakeries forced to help organize homosexual weddings is a bad thing or a terrible thing, or, you know, the ultimate violation of God's law by a demonic state. He doesn't see that. Abortion seems to be the only major evil from the perspective of many Catholics, evangelicals, and perhaps Marvin Alasky as well. But let me ask you this. Which is worse, abortion or big government tyranny persecuting everybody to take chemicals into their bodies? Which would be worse, legalizing abortion or forcing abortion? Is government tyranny a larger concern there, Steve?
Wow, that's a rough one, because forcing people to have an abortion versus people choosing, that's I don't know. What do you think?
There's a big difference there.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, on the one hand, it's an individual, you know, having an abortion. On the other hand, it's government forcing others to kill their babies, or forcing others to kill themselves, or whatever might be the case. So which is worse, abortion or enforced homosexuality and transgenderism over private businesses and colleges? Which is worse, people killing their own kids, or people forcing you to disobey God's laws? These are the sorts of conversations that evangelicals are not having, and that's a big problem. You see, God's law, if we were to subscribe to God's law, not your own opinion, not like the pro-life community. No. If you were to subscribe to God's law seems to place the sin of homosexuality at an equal or higher level of egregiousness as abortion. Certainly if you're trying to preserve a nation, let's say that you were living in Sodom and Gomorrah in roughly 1900 BC. You know, I'm guessing, you know, that this problem of homosexuality is going to be a pretty serious social evil. I mean, that's, you know, your World Magazine in 1900 BC, working out in Lot's basement, Sodom and Gomorrah. What would you do? Is this an issue? Is this something we should consider to be a problem? Especially if, you know, God is this close to throwing an atom bomb over the entire nation and just killing everybody, except for maybe a few. So these are the sorts of things that people aren't considering. Now, I understand that abortion appears more winnable than homosexuality, and perhaps that's why some of the evangelicals are big time happy. But anybody taking a stand against homosexuality is going to be a persecuted person in America, and that's probably why conservatives don't want a piece of it. There is this appearance that we're making progress with abortion. Some evangelicals are feeling good about themselves. The 300 regulations imposed on abortion clinics in 24 states, that feels like progress, but that's just sheer hypocrisy, as we've said many times. And this is, again, something that World Magazine won't touch. Why? Because there are 7.5 million abortions each year compared to 2.5 million abortions 20 years ago in this country, thanks to the increased use of the IUD. And that they're not going to touch. Abortion has just gotten more convenient, less surgical, and evangelicals are cheering the progress. It's hypocrisy at the highest levels. expressed by our conservative evangelical friends. And we've been trying to call them to task on this within our own denomination with this radio program, et cetera. But there's very few people that are even concerned about it. Well, with that level of hypocrisy going on with the evangelical right, friends, I don't think there's much hope. Well, now let's look at this this statement, blessed are the peacemakers. You know, Marvin Alasky saying, you know, we're called to make peace with transgenderism and create unisex bathrooms. Okay, that this is what he's saying. But friends, the reason why people are making unisex bathrooms is to avoid lawsuits and prison time, not because they're trying to make peace.
Yeah.
And I think also we need to draw a distinction between making peace with our neighbors whose dog is barking all night and making peace with false ideas or ideological associations like Democrats and Pharisees and other groups who oppose God and his holy law at almost every point, and especially at the most egregious points. Did Jesus make peace with the Pharisee apostates in Matthew 23? In fact, we're right there, right now. Last night, we were studying Matthew 23 and Ryle's commentary, our little Bible study guide we produce as part of Generations. We were going through that last night. We're literally in Matthew 23 last night. And, you know, he's like casting them into hell. Woe unto you, Pharisees, scribes, lawyers. It didn't feel like he was making peace in that particular editorial.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, that was the passages I read this morning for my own personal was I'm in Matthew.
No way.
And I just read 23 this morning and actually, you know, 20 to 24. And I was thinking the same thing. You know, maybe he was smiling while he said those things. And he was, you know, had that little chuckle, you know, woe to you, you know. But no, I mean, it's hard not to read that with anger and sadness. And all of that, you know, you hypocrites, that was very powerful.
Brood of vipers.
Yeah.
Not exactly the most peacemaking language. Did Jesus make peace with these Pharisees? Did John the Baptist make peace with Herod's sexual proclivities and his transgendered bathrooms down at the local whatever it was? There's a role for a prophetic voice in an apostate culture, and the West is in apostasy. The question is whether or not these editorials are going to take a position upon an ethical concern. And that, my understanding is that's what editorials were supposed to do. And if that be the case, shouldn't they assume the courage to go up against the major humanist zeitgeist that's doing the most damage to our world? Did Jesus come to bring peace or a sword? Well, I think the answer there is yes. Peace with God. And a sword between that which is godly and that which is godless. Now, we are called to peacemaking with our neighbor next door, whose dog barks all night, but we're not called to make peace with false ideas and ideological associations like Democrats and Pharisees. These are the sorts of things that that Mr. Alasky needs to consider. We can't just be taking one little verse out of context. We need to interact with the rest of it. It's all part of, you know, weighing scripture with scripture. But here's the kicker. I'm not sure that the other half in this rift between Christian conservatives is really on track either. And now, this is my other point. You know, there's a point at which I agree with Marvin Alasky. If there was a civil war in America, would I really want to be on the side of the anarchist and the QAnon shaman guy? Remember the guy with the horns in the Capitol?
Yeah.
You know, are you really going to be, you know, hey, yeah, let's go to war together with you.
No.
And people who think the outrageous debt spender Donald Trump is out to save America. I don't think that I'm on that side either. I don't think saving America is the goal. I think repentance in the churches is the goal. Repentance of abortifacients and the church's contribution to killing 57% of babies conceived in the country by the IUD and the pill. Repentance for man-centered doctrine. Repentance for the pornography epidemic that's taken down 80% of the men in the church. Repentance for not teaching them to obey everything Jesus has commanded us. You know, that kind of thing. There's a repentance agenda out there. I'm not saying we've got all of it here, but I think that's what we should be after more than anything else. And I honestly don't think that the dividing line of civil war would be a consistent pro-life position. I don't think that, or even a consistent position on homosexuality. So many of the Christian evangelicals that maybe are strong on pro-life are weak on homosexuality. the dividing line would be some far-fetched conspiracy theory and mask mandates. And I just don't think that's enough for a nation to engage civil war. The dividing line at World Magazine appears to be over Trump, masks, voter fraud, vaccines, Me Too, and exposés on alleged Republican womanizers like Congressman Madison Cawthorn, and saving the Republic from a civil war. I just think, you know, we need to be careful right now on things like this. Now, World Magazine has gone after hypocrisies within our own camp, and I think give them kudos for that. Do we go after liberals, or do we go after hypocrisies within our own camp? Do we go after the Pharisees or the Sadducees? Well, I think the answer is yes, with equal force and equal commitment to God's laws, not according to a secular journalistic standard imposed on us by the Me Too movement. And in some respect, World Magazine has it right in addressing the hypocritical scandals of the 1980s and the hypocritical scandals of the 2010s, exposing the evangelical church's brokenness and desperate need for reformation. I praise God. I'm glad somebody is out there for some of these things. The church in America is very broken, very broken. And judgment has to begin in the household of God. We have no business avenging evil out there when our own obedience has yet to be perfected, 2 Corinthians 10:6. So back to World Magazine. Steve, World Magazine has had a toughness about it with Joel Beltz at the helm. And I still find something of a decent article once in a while. I like Joel Beltz's editorials. Christianity Today, though, as well as World Magazine, have lost their North Star in reporting because they don't have the compass locked on to God's law as the ethical standard. That's what happened to Focus on the Family. That's what's happened to the Moral Majority and these other evangelifish movements of the last 50 years. World Magazine didn't focus in on the cultural zeitgeist as much as they went after the political zeitgeist. That's a problem as well. They were soft on Nashville and Hollywood, as is PluggedIn.com. They saw something of a political battle, but they folded when it came to Nashville and Hollywood. I don't find them very critical, especially from a worldview perspective, when they analyze movies. They don't seem to want to touch issues that really matter, issues that speak to the heart of the nation, the things that are rotting about the country, issues like quantitative easing, the worst mass stealing, the greatest heist in the history of the world going on right now, largely at the behest of the federal government and the Federal Reserve. I think they should go after abortifacients, killing 57% of the world's population. Feminism, homosexuality, the forms of sexual nihilism is utterly destroying this generation. They need to go after it. They also need to acknowledge God as sovereign in their stories. Now, this is what we do, of course. We acknowledge God as providentially sovereign over all the actions of men, that when there are elections, the guy who is elected because God is sovereign over the ballot box. I don't read of God's providence enough in these stories. I don't see God acknowledged in the news stories themselves. And that's the reason why we formed the Worldview in 5 minutes 7 years ago. That's the fundamental reason. We wanted to bring the Word of God in to bear, and we wanted to be sure that we had an anchor to God's truth, and we recognize God, not man, and not sort of that, you know, chance universe, a indeterminism bringing about the events of the world. No, we wanted a personal God behind it all, such that we could say the heart of the king is in the hand of God and he turns it whithersoever he wills, and bring that into the new story. And I don't see that in World Magazine, and World Magazine therefore falls far short when it comes to a biblical worldview applied to the news, which ultimately is just recording what happened in history over the last 24 hours. And so as we view history, we must bring a providential view into history, which of course includes the news. And that's what we do with theworldview.com. Why do we have to submit to the world standards of objective truth when the most objective standard in terms of human action and events is God's sovereignty and God's word? Well, at the end, I don't think the conservatives realize what is happening here. And that's why I believe the conversations need to extend a little bit further. And we need to all come back to the drawing board and say, now, wait a minute. Things have changed. This whole world has changed in the last 10 years. Christians have lost 90% of their influence in this country. We're not going to save the nation with Trump and election reform. These campaigns are too little, too late. The churches are dead and dying. The evangelical church is collapsing. We won't preserve our influence by dropping certain controversial issues and hanging on to the surgical abortion problem as the only campaign left for us. Nuh-uh, that's not going to work. See, the entire framework has changed. Everything's shifted since 2012, as I outlined in Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. And I think these Christian conservatives have an unrealistic view of their position. The salt in the evangelical grassroots have lost its savor. Their agenda is not well thought out. They haven't interpreted rightly the signs of the time. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 16. Jesus says to the Jews, when it's evening, you say, be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And I think we have had signs, signs of the times, and I don't think we're reading the signs of the times rightly. And that's why I wrote Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. We are already under judgment. The brimstone is already falling. The world is burning up, and the Christian news reporting is still concerned with whether public school kids should wear masks in the transgender bathrooms. That's what I'm talking about. We're reporting on the wrong stories. We're chasing the wrong rabbits. I think it's time for Christians to wake up and re-strategize. We're going to have to develop and defend islands of culture, of education, of freedom, media, etc. And that's what we're trying to do. It's what we're advocating here. We need to be more in tune with the international church and report daily on persecutions going on, which is what we do with theworldview.com. We can't be fighting an ideological conventional war anymore, Steve. It's not the 1980s anymore. It's time to wake up and smell the napalm. We can't be fighting an ideological conventional war. We are moving into an ideological guerrilla war. And we need to identify true believers who are being persecuted, defend them instead of being embarrassed of them, ignoring them. We need men with chests. We need to take off the gloves. Desperate times call for desperate measures. World Magazine should put Douglas Wilson's article on the escape in the cult of Nice on the front page of their website today. Just read it last night. And you know that ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
You know that ain't going to happen. Well, the world is on fire. The entire world needs men who will lead and tell us the way it is. There's too much muddled thinking. And this is one thing that Douglas Wilson is doing for us. You talk about a guy who's wading through muddled thinking, and he is doing everything he can to make it crystal clear with 200-proof biblical truth. It's not like he bats 1,000 on this, but he's doing what he can to set the muddled thinking aside. And muddled thinking is in vogue. That is, everybody thinks muddled thinking is the way to go. I think that's how I read Christian Post. That's how I read some of World Magazine. Muddled thinking is in vogue. But if we're going to survive an epistemological tornado going on right now, you better be thinking and speaking with crystal clarity and with 200-proof biblical truth. That's the point. And I think Douglas Wilson is contributing something to that right now with his no holds barred November, whatever it is. Again, you're going to find areas in which you might disagree with him, but he needs to be interacted with. You need to interact with that which presents or attempts to present crystal clear thinking in a muddled era. This is not the time for less saltiness. This is time for more salt. The risk is persecution. I get that. But the world is burning down around us. And there's not much left to preserve this civilization. And I could not put it better than this. Listen to what our Lord says in Luke chapter 14, verse 33. So likewise, whoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, for men will cast it out. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And I will end it there on this edition of the Generations broadcast.
Amen.
Couldn't say it better than that. Luke 14, 33 through 35. And get a copy of my book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, which is another attempt to equip the men of Issachar to understand the times so they will know what to do. That's Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.